There are several questions about the vaccine, so maybe a good place to start is, can someone provide an update on where we are with regard to vaccine development and receiving it in Alaska, and more importantly, receiving it in the Waikiki Delta?
Yeah, I'm happy to start, and the team can chime in all as well. So vaccine development and progress is super exciting right now, and there's a lot of movement and progress. There are many vaccines that have been under study, but there are two vaccines that have started to release some of their data information showing they're highly efficacious, meaning they work well at preventing you from getting really sick for COVID, particularly very seriously ill from COVID. And so that's what's really exciting about these vaccines. So between 90 and 95% efficacious. One of them, the Pfizer vaccine, which does require a very complicated ultra cold chain storage, it has to be frozen at really low temperatures, is being reviewed right now, both by the federal government for approval, as well as by a completely independent clinical body that's used to looking at vaccines to look at both its safety as well as efficacy, and are providing recommendations. If that data looks really good, we expect that vaccine to be in limited quantities in the state with probably within about the next 3 weeks. We suspect shortly behind that, another vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, which looks very similar in its the way that it works, as well as how efficacious it is, to be close on its heels, probably 1 week later or so. And that one requires a little bit less of a complicated cold chain storage. We are starting to get our initial numbers of vaccine allocation, what we will look like we will get here in the state. And it's super exciting to think about the vaccine numbers that are coming in. It will still be limited, and it will still, as Dr. Joe McLaughlin explains, he often describes it as a faucet tap slowly turning on, that will slowly be getting more and more. I like to think of it like the sun. It's dark right now, but we know that the sun will slowly start to come back. And just like we don't notice the 22nd is much longer than the 21st, we do know that it quickly speeds up by spring equinox, and by summer solstice, we've got a lot more. And so I would think in vaccine in a similar sort of way. As the sun starts to come back, we're going to have more and more vaccine. We're going to start by vaccinating those who are at highest risk, and we are waiting for some federal guidance as well as state guidance, but there will be large community involvement as well in trying to figure out exactly how that's distributed. Our entire distribution process has been set up in combination with ANTHC, and incredibly grateful for their partnership throughout that, to make sure that we're thinking through all the logistics and the important aspects about getting it out to the communities as quickly as possible. So that's a very high level overview of where things are at, but others can chime in with more data science or logistics.
Yeah, this is Joe McLaughlin. I'll just add a couple of things. First of all, in terms of our prioritization, as Dr. Zink mentioned, we're gonna really be focusing initially on people who are, number one, at increased risk for acquisition of infection, and especially our first responders and our critical infrastructure healthcare staff, the people who are caring for COVID patients in the ER and the ICU, things like that. And then we have a tiered system that we're working on in, you know, kind of coming up with the appropriate prioritization scheme. And there is a national body called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice, or ACIP. And they'll be coming out with some national guidance on this very soon. They met today. And as soon as FDA provides an emergency use authorization for the vaccine, then the ACIP will come out with its prioritization scheme and they'll publish that. And so we'll largely mirror off of what the ACIP recommendations are for prioritization. As Dr. Zink mentioned, these vaccines are really exciting. Just for perspective, the flu vaccine, which we really recommend that everybody gets this year, I'm trying to get as close to, let's say, 80% as possible for flu vaccine uptake. That would be great this year. So I want to just make sure everybody does get their flu vaccine. But the flu vaccine is, on average, depending on the year, anywhere from about 40 to 60% effective. With the two vaccines that we've got some pretty good clinical preliminary phase three clinical trial data from, the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, both of them are showing effectiveness that's greater than 90%, and probably closer to 95%, especially for the Moderna vaccine. That's amazing. It really is encouraging. So, and the side effect profile is looking good. People will have soreness in their arm. They may feel a little myalgia, a little fatigue after the injection. But, it's looking like it's going to be a very safe and effective vaccine. One of the other issues is cold storage, as Dr. Zink mentioned. The Pfizer vaccine, unfortunately, has to be stored in a freezer that goes down to minus 70 to minus 80. And there aren't a lot of freezers like that in the United States, and certainly not a lot in Alaska. We do have some. They're much harder to come by in more rural areas. That's for the Pfizer vaccine. Fortunately, the Moderna vaccine only requires cold storage at minus 20, and we have a lot more freezers that can do that.
There's a couple of vaccine-related questions here. And once somebody gets an upcoming vaccine, will it be safe for them to travel and visit others outside of their household, or will there still be risk of either getting or spreading COVID-19? Also, somebody read that, or when is it anticipated that a vaccine will be available for children? They've read that current vaccine in final stages of development have only been tested on adults.
Yeah, so great question. So for the first question, if you could get it or spread it. So when we look at efficacy, we look at to see the chance that you would get COVID and you would get super sick from it. So it looks like it protects you from getting super sick. But what we don't know is that if you could still get it and be spreading virus asymptomatically or mildly symptomatically. So we have a lot to learn about that still. So much more to come. And I think we'll know a lot more in the next couple of months regarding that. The second question about children is excellent. This has not been studied in children, partially because children are not as affected, like we talked about at the beginning, compared to influenza or other diseases. And so it was really studied more in adults at this time. And so that will be the first grouping that we'll be getting in as adults. But the studies are starting to expand into more childhood age groups, and we'll continue to follow that data. But it's hard to know exactly when that would come. Dr. McLaughlin, any other insights and things that you've been hearing?
No, I think that really addresses it. The other issue is pregnant women. You know, the vaccine was not studied in pregnant women because it's a vulnerable population. And so I know that the various companies are now starting to introduce the vaccine in their clinical trials to children, as well as pregnant women and other folks in higher risk groups.
And I guess just the only other thing I would add is like each step that we have to mitigate this disease is like removing a little bit more kindling from the forest fire. It takes out a little bit more that's burned. And so by all of us decreasing the transmission and by the more people that get vaccinated, we'll help protect others as well. So, you know, if we have a bunch of vulnerable adults who are protected, that will also help protect pregnant women, even if they're not studying, because it will mean less people are getting super sick from the disease and less people to spread it from. And so that's really kind of the concept about herd immunity. This is the time that we talk about herd immunity coming from a vaccine, because that way it's a much more safe way to get immunity. And then we're all able as a community to take care of those who maybe don't have vaccine yet. And so just again, like the sun, as it gets brighter, as we get more vaccine, that will help reduce the transmission between our communities overall. So other people getting vaccinated will help you, but overall, we're going to need a mass of people to get vaccinated so that we can really protect all of each other.
Yeah, and just so folks kind of really understand what herd immunity is, basically, it's when enough people become vaccinated that it's very difficult for the virus to continue to accelerate. And in fact, what happens is you get a shift at herd immunity where the rate of transmission really starts to decrease until ultimately the virus will just sort of peter out. We don't know exactly what that tipping point is. It's probably somewhere between 60 and 70% of the population that needs to be immune through vaccination. And that's what we're going to shoot for. And Dr. Anthony Fauci did mention this past weekend that he thinks that that could be possible by the second quarter of the new year, which to me is really, really encouraging to think about.
I have a follow-up question for Dr. Zink and McLaughlin. We've had some discussions here about whether or not the advisory panel will consider Alaska Natives as a whole as a vulnerable population and therefore get the vaccine faster than others. Any chance that the panel would give that consideration?
Thank you, Dan, for that. Yes, so today the ACIP met for, I want to say close to 3 or 4 hours. And this was one of the discussion points because we've seen racial and ethnic disparities across the country. And it's not just in Alaska Native people. We've seen, as I mentioned, very high rates in the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander population. And in some regions of the country, very high rates in the Black and Hispanic populations as well. So ACIP is looking very closely at these racial and ethnic disparities and talking about how best to factor those disparities into their prioritization scheme.
And then I would add their prioritization scheme, I've been describing it like nesting dolls, is kind of like the large structure. And then the state is going to take a look at those and work within those to say what really makes sense for Alaska and what data are we seeing for Alaska specific. And we have representatives from ANTHC and tribal representatives on that committee, as well as rural clinicians. And then even inside that is going to be another nesting doll of local communities as well as tribes. And so there may be a component of like, okay, Dr. Hodges and team, like this is how much vaccine you get for your healthcare providers. And then there's local decision on who are going to be the most critical ones to make that decision. I really need these respiratory therapists because I don't have them, and I'm going to prioritize them over these nurses. So there will be even local control kind of within those groups afterwards. And that may be tribal, that may be community, that may be hospital, depending kind of at what phase of vaccine. And I think that there will be some kind of blending between some of the groups because we really also don't want to waste vaccine. And particularly because the Pfizer vaccine is so challenging to distribute, we may get to a point where we say, okay, we've got this many, let's say we had 400 people that we could vaccinate within one category, but the box is 975. We might say, okay, here's 975. We're just going to send it out and you're going to go through your 1A and part of your 1B group to kind of get through that. So we don't waste any vaccine. We don't want you to not use part of the vaccine because they don't perfectly meet a criteria. So there's going to be some, you know, leeway that we're all going to have to use to be able to get as much vaccine as quickly as possible. But we do really think that race and ethnicity will be highly considered from the national level all the way down because of the inequities that we see.